everyone, and welcome back to the Brave Story Podcast, journal entries and candid conversations about living a fearless, honest, and meaningful life. I'm having the most crazy technical difficulties with this episode. First of all, I'm recording this intro right now on my phone on a voice memo because I don't know why, but my computer just doesn't want to work today. So it's just not recording any sound. And also, the podcast episode that I recorded for you today, it was literally the second time we recorded because the first time I deleted it. We recorded about a week ago. My guest today is, her name is Erica Jenkins, and we recorded a week ago and I just literally deleted the entire thing. In fact, I deleted two podcasts. I also recorded another episode with a friend and just deleted both of them. So we're really not doing super well over here in the technical department, but we are doing great otherwise. I actually have a personal update. I finally got a job. I accepted a job a few weeks ago and I started last week. So tomorrow is Friday as I'm recording this, will be the end of my second week. And it's going really great. It's a really great opportunity. I'm really excited. The environment is perfect for me. The culture is perfect. The work is right up my alley. Everything about it is like super in line. It's close to my house. However, I'm just working from home right now until I think we're going to go back into the office a couple days a week, like staggered. So when I do go into the office, I'll pretty much be alone. So I'm not really sure why I'm going there because I'll be like the only person in my little room. But we will do that at some point, which is great. And I don't think we'll be going back to the office 5 days a week for a while. I kind of have a theory. I hope I'm right. I have a theory that no one will be going back to the office 5 days a week, really ever. Maybe just the really intense corporate people who still wear ties, like whoever those people are. But the rest of us, regular people, I just think that like we're never going back 5 days a week. I just think that that's going to be something in the past where we're like, whoa, can you believe it used to be like that? Like people smoking inside restaurants, you know? Hopefully. Here's hoping. So I have a fun episode for you today. Like I said, my guest today is Erica Jenkins. And I have an episode for you today, so I'm excited. My guest, like I said, is Erica Jenkins, and she is currently on the World Race. So I met up with her when I was in Costa Rica. She was a member of B Squad that I was filming when I did my film trip in Costa Rica. And 1 week after I got home, her squad actually got taken off the field because of COVID. Like I've said a million times, we took everyone off the field back in March. And so she's here to tell a story of what happened, what she learned through all that, and what she's doing now. Because what she's doing now is pretty cool. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. And here is Erica. All right, everyone. I am here with Erica. Hi, Erica. Where are you?
I am currently in Westminster, Colorado.
So Erica and I met in March, end of February, beginning of March, when I was traveling with the World Race to film the World Race project. If you remember, I did two different podcast episodes about this where I was in Guatemala with a Gap squad, and then I went to Costa Rica with B Squad. And so Erica's on B Squad, and that's where we met. And so the videos that I filmed are coming out now, and the first Costa Rica video, I thought it was going to come out yesterday, but it didn't, so maybe it'll be out next week. But by the time this goes up, they should be up, and we'll link it down below if they are. So that's how I met Erica. So she started the World Race in January. And obviously, you guys know COVID, so we'll get into that in a second, but had you always wanted to do the race?
So not always. I heard about it through a roommate. So probably 2017, I believe, was when I heard about it. And then I had looked it up like that Christmas year. And so just researching and doing all that and like talking to a friend who went on it, And so she gave me more detail just about like where you go and how you sleep and all that stuff. And so I was a little hesitant. So I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to camp for 11 months. But if it means serving the Lord, then I will suck it up and do it. And so, yeah, 2018, I believe I made my decision. And then January 2019, I applied for the January 2020 routes that came out.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That's so fun to hear. I love asking people questions like that because I worked in the marketing department for like 3 years. And so we would plan a year in advance. So I love hearing like how people heard about it and when they signed up. So I appreciate that you signed up a year in advance because we were preparing for that.
Yes, very much so. And actually, side note, so the Costa Rica video came out today. So all of B Squad watched it together this morning.
It did come out. I didn't
see
it.
Yeah, it came out. Yeah, it came out
good.
Today. So yeah, we got to watch it all together. And just kind of re-experienced that. So it was fun.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Yay. When I was first editing them, I felt so bad editing, like, cause when we filmed, we had no idea you guys were going to leave the field. I didn't really know COVID was going to be so serious. I was kind of in a bubble when I was filming. I wasn't paying attention to the news. And so it just felt like 1 week later after I got back from filming, you guys got pulled off the field. And so it felt really sad to be editing it. And the last episode, I actually did a little bit of a tribute to you guys and like kind of how it happened. So look forward to that. But it makes me so happy to know that you guys were all together to watch it. So can you tell us about the first 3 months of the race before COVID?
Month one was in Nicaragua. And so we are a small squad, I think the smallest. So we were divided into two teams of five. So one team went to Palcaguina and then my team went to Granada. So we were apart for that whole month. So for my team specifically, just that month looked like prayer walking, going to the hospital, going to like the dump and just seeing where these people live and just how they're surviving. But majority of the time was prayer walking. So being able to go into the streets. And so with REAP, where we were with, they were working with like two different sides of the street. And so both those sides were always fighting with each other and just kind of wars and all of that stuff. So they had actually done a lot to get like peace on both of those sides. So it was nice to go with them and be able to go on either side and like just talk to these people and hear their stories. And like they were very just open and vulnerable and like willing to talk to us and just tell us their life and their experience. And same with going to the hospital. I went in the like the children and baby area every time that I went there. I love children. So I was always in the baby route. So just being able like to hold some of the babies and like pray over them and just, you know, pray healing over their bodies was just really like rewarding and heartbreaking at the same time. Costa Rica. So we started off in San Jose. I always get that one in San Juan mixed up, but San Jose.
Me too.
And so again, like our whole entire squad was together, but we did ministry differently into teams. And so for my team, Canvas and Clay, we mainly helped out with a guy, his name is Jerson. And then we were there for probably like 2-ish weeks. And then we moved to Hako, which was super hot every single day.
So hot.
So hot. And so that was a lot of like going out into Hako and kind of like bringing pride almost to that town. Just from what our host told us of like it being filled with, you know, darkness and just people praying around it, but not bringing light into it. And so it was just cool to be able to bring light into that. And so we painted light posts. And so like it was already outlined and stuff, but you know, still being able to go and like paint it and people walking by and like offering them to paint and to help. So just so they had that, like, this is my city and like I'm doing something to make it beautiful type mindset.
Yeah. So they were there most of the month in San Jose, and then I came for 10 days in Hako, and I can attest it was hot, like India hot, Mars hot. I don't know about you, but when I was out there, I knew about COVID, and I remember making sure on the way home on the airplane, I like didn't cough on anybody, but I really didn't anticipate what happened. Did you have any awareness of COVID? Like, did you ever in a million years think you guys would get sent home?
I did not. So we found out about COVID when we were in Nicaragua. And so it was told to us like, hey, this new disease is out. You know, just wash your hands, take care of yourself, blah, blah, blah. Like that was the extent we got. So once we left Costa Rica and got to Peru, that's when it got a little bit more serious. We were originally told that, like, it's fine. We're going to keep you guys out. There's no reason to send you home. Just still, you know, keep up with cleanliness and all of that. So probably like 1 or 2 days later, we got an email that said, hey, we're sending you home. Your race is done. Like,
whoa.
And it was just like complete devastation.
So wait, what was the timeline again? So I left and then you went to Peru for 1 week.
Yeah, we were in Peru for about a week. I'd say maybe like 5 days. And so just, they were sending us updates and like, you know, you're in this tier section. So like, you're fine. We're going to keep you out. And then like a day later, it's like, actually, we're sending you home. This is worse than we thought. And like, we need to get you out of Peru and back to the States.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just complete devastation. And then, so I think they originally had a flight for us Monday at 10 p.m. And so we were like, hey, we'll spend the day Sunday as a squad, go out and have dinner, just have fun, spend time together. And then Monday we'll spend all day packing and cleaning and then get ready for the airport.
Yeah.
So it did not happen. So, we hung out all day Sunday, had dinner, and then we were woken up at 5 o'clock Monday morning and told you have an hour to pack. And we're leaving at 10 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah. So just imagine like 8 girls in a room being woken up, like all out of sorts. And thankfully, like we have the sweetest squad leaders. And so it wasn't like bullhorn, like get up, you have 1 hour.
but like a sorority hazing.
They were super sweet about it. And just like, we're so sorry. You only have an hour. We're leaving at 10 a.m. And so, you know, we're up and we're just throwing things away. Like, we don't need this, forget this, whatever, throwing stuff in the backpack. Like, you know, who has time to brush your teeth and wash your face? Like, just throw everything together and we got to go.
Like fleeing the country.
Exactly.
Crazy.
And so we did that in an hour. We tried to clean as best we could. And so then we had like Ubers come. And so they took us to the airport. And so we waited there until we got to the Dominican Republic. And so we were there for 24 hours. Right. And so then we just like had dinner and stuff together. And then the next day we left from Dominican Republic to Atlanta. And so even still just in the airport, you know, there's still just devastation. Like there's some laughing, some crying, I know me personally, I was completely shut down. So just a range of emotions, just trying to like soak up these last minutes. And like we get to the airport and figuring out, you know, trying to get food and all that. And so on like the parent side, there's like, they're getting messages and then we're also getting messages from like our mentor. And it's like, we're going to have debrief for a couple days. And then the parents are like, well, they're telling us you need to come home. And it's like, hey, you're actually not having debrief. When you get here, you have to go home.
Oh my gosh.
Like all this, yeah, all this is like back and forth. And so I know it's hard with like mass communication. And then our parents are calling us and like, what's going on? Do you need to come home? Do you need to book a ticket? Like just hysteria and chaos. for like those couple of days. So we got to Atlanta on Tuesday, I believe. And then Wednesday, everyone in my squad left. And then I left on Friday. And so, yeah, it was like that was probably one of the hardest weeks of my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really disappointing. So what were the months after that like? Like the first week and then like where was your head at? How did you move on?
Definitely the first week, it was just like, I don't want to be here. I'm supposed to be overseas. Like, I don't understand what's going on. Why can't people just wash their hands? Like, I don't get it. And so just very like heartbreaking and just disencouraging of like, you know, like, God, we said yes to you. I don't understand why we're not overseas right now. And so as it got further on, like, I know I just kind of started piecing together of, like, why I was home and why these, maybe not the full picture of, like, why we were sent home and all that, but I know I was able to do ministry at home, and there's a family I was living with, and so I was able to like just to speak into their life and just kind of like bring feedback, like what you learn on the road race, just kind of bring it into their home.
Wow.
So that was super just like sweet and encouraging to see. We just kind of see like them develop with that.
Yeah, that's really cool that you'd only been on the field 3 months, but you've clearly grown a lot and you were still able to bring that home.
Right. Right. And yeah, my mom was like definitely my support system throughout this whole entire thing. She was very much like, you're going to relaunch, you're going back out, you're going.
Really?
Yeah, I was just like, you know, that's an if. I don't know if I will. I don't know if we will. And so May 20th was our date of like, you're going to get an email and they're just going to tell you your next steps. And so May 20th came and I remember just reading through the entire email and there was like an option of you can join with your squad and relaunch.
You said there wasn't an option to relaunch?
Yeah. And I just remember sitting in front of the computer and just bawling and just like crying my eyes out. And I was like, I'm going to order pizza and eat my feelings because I'm not going out with my squad. So then we had a squad meeting. So our mentor, TT, she told us, she was like, well, there is an option for B squad to come together and do World Race America. And I was like, what?
Oh my gosh.
Like, where was this option? It wasn't in the email.
it wasn't in the email.
So I just got like super excited and we took time to like pray. And so our whole entire squad decided to come back on the field. And relaunch, which is what we're doing right now.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. In America. So let me tell everyone. So for people who don't know, so the World Race is around the world. You go to 11 different countries. But a year or two ago, their mentor, Teresa, had the idea to launch something called World Race America. And that's the same idea, except you travel around state to state, city to city in the U.S. And we only had one other squad, and it was because Teresa is in charge of it, and she's also in charge of B squad. She had the idea and the ability to offer them the opportunity to go around the U.S. Mm-hmm. So they are currently the only two squads doing that, and I think we're going to add one. What? Mm-hmm. Not we, but I think they're going to add one. I'm still a fan. I think they're going to add one in September, so there'll be three. So you guys are really special, and this was like really no one else got to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have been in Colorado for a month now. So we relaunched July 1st, and so we were in Monument, Colorado, and so we stayed with our coaches for about like 3 weeks. And so just really such a good time to kind of reconnect as a team and like just bring unity and like this is the stuff we went through while we were home and being able to like talk about our experiences because it kind of just happened. And so while we were home, we did have squad calls and team times,
Yeah, every day.
So it was like, so our squad calls were every other Thursday, and then our team times were every Tuesday. So we still kept in contact with each other, but it got difficult because it was like they want us to grieve, but for us it was like, well, can we grieve something that we don't know if we've fully lost?
Yeah, there's still hope.
Yeah. So there was still a little bit of hope. So it's like going through the grief cycle, but like I still have this hope that we're going to relaunch. So it was good to just talk about that, like at the Shaws, and get all that out. And so we didn't really have that time. So I think just a lot of like healing and unity happened in our house. We did do some ministry, but we just had like a week where it was like just squad ministry and like, this is what the next 4 months look like. And how can we unite and be strong together. And so now we are in Westminster. I don't know how you did that. Anyways, in Colorado. So we're here. We've been here for about a week and like 3 days. And so we head out tomorrow for Utah.
Utah.
Yeah.
Fun. So give us a preview of where all are going to go this year. Do you know?
If I remember, we go to Utah after this, and then we're in Oregon. We go to Washington State. We have an awakening.
Wow.
California, back to Denver, Colorado, and then I believe Tennessee for final debrief, and then Georgia, I think, to, like, drop the van off. So
cool. So you're traveling around in a van. You guys are contained together, and it's seems pretty safe, like you're pretty isolated. What kind of projects are you doing?
We worked on a farm, and so we got helped them get ready for a watermelon festival.
Cute.
They just had it this last weekend, and then they're having it this upcoming weekend. So we were actually able to go Sunday and kind of see like what they were doing. So it was really cute. I mowed a lawn for the first time. I've never mowed a lawn before.
Yes,
that was fun. And then Wednesdays we went to a food pantry. So people would come in and shop, and like, so this food was maybe like a day to a week old from Walmart or something, but like just being able to come in and shop for these things, and just get stuff for their family, especially during, you know, COVID and all that. So just helps with like putting stuff out on the shelves and, helping with that. And then they actually let us shop for ourselves while we were there. So we got to like get chicken and bread, and so definitely helped with not having to buy groceries, because like we have food here. So
your budget, I'm assuming, didn't really change, even though you're in a much more expensive area.
It's $7 a day per person.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's you're grateful for it at the same time. It's like America is expensive. You know, you kind of have to cut corners where you can. And we have been so blessed with people feeding us like lunch or dinner, like providing stuff that it's like you can kind of save up on that money. And like we use it towards if we want to have like a big pizza night or we go out somewhere.
Cute.
So, yeah. But while we've been in Westminster, so we, for a week, we did like 9 to 5, and so we got to build bunk beds, which was fun.
I saw a picture of them. Yeah. Very impressive.
Yeah, so we were like staining wood and using like polyurethane, to which I've never used that term before. And then I got to like I got to drill for the first time and like drill beds together and yes, I was like, ooh, like handy woman over here.
Powered lady.
So yeah, that was definitely fun, like building those. And then this past week we went to a place called Denver Rescue Mission, and so I was like feeding the homeless. And so the place that we were at was just all men, that they were serving, and they have like other facilities that have youth and that have women. But it's just like, I guess countywide, it's easier to divide them by gender. So yeah, we just had like just these sweet men come through, and just being able to like serve them and like talk to them. And so it was fun to see Ryan and Connor, who are the two guys on our squad, just like go out and talk to these men, and just pray for them and like throw away their trash and just be there for them. And especially since they're surrounded by girls
all the time.
It was just really like heartwarming to see them like go and have like these manly conversations with them. So it was cute.
I'm so happy. When I saw on, I guess I saw the beginning of June on Instagram that you guys were going to go out again in July. And I didn't know, like you said, no one really knew. And I was so excited for you guys because I really shared in your heartbreak when you had to come off the field. And so I've loved following you on Instagram. I'm so thrilled. And I know it's different than what you thought, but everything in the whole world is different than what we thought. And there's such a great need. Like when everyone, we brought home 500 people from the race, and it was crazy. It's like, you know, this is disappointing, but we're bringing home 500 like passionate, on fire people who have this like burning fire of Jesus love in their heart and like ready to spread it. Mm-hmm. And we need it more than ever right now. Like there's so much sadness and anger and frustration and disappointment and devastation like in our country. And so I'm so glad that you guys have a way to like safely minister to people. And it's like the time of our greatest need, like in generations. So it's exciting. So what would you say was one of the biggest lessons you learned in your waiting time when you're at home, unsure if you're going to go back out again?
Honestly, I think patience, that has been my word, honestly, since being home and since, even since just like relaunching, I think patience and trust of like, you know, patiently waiting for things, and just trusting that the Lord has a plan. And so even though it's not what I think, and so even in my mind of like, I said yes to you, and so it just made me think of like, okay, did I say yes to, because I thought this was going to be 11 months and 11 different countries, or did I truly say yes to the Lord and this is what he's put in front of me? And so just pausing to think of like, ooh, I think I said yes because it was 11 months and 11 different countries, not because I fully said yes to the Lord. And, you know, as we see now, things are like always changing. So yeah, I think those are probably two of the biggest takeaways for me from doing that.
Well, that's a really good takeaway. You know, it's funny, on the race you learn a lot about flexibility and like letting go of your expectations because things are constantly different than what you thought and things can change day to day, and this is like that times a million. So you're learning that lesson
for sure.
It's way more intense than a normal racer, but it's really good. It's a really good lesson.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely hard. It's definitely a day-by-day surrender. Because there are times where I'm like, really, God, are you sure? Like, you know, like when we just question, like, do you really know what you're doing? But it's like he does. And
yeah,
I know that in my heart. I think it's just that flesh of like, I want to know. So just being able to like release that and just know that he is in control and he has it.
Yeah.
Pretty much all you need.
You know, nothing with Jesus is wasted. So like none of your months on the race were wasted. None of your waiting time, like none of your, all of the time, none of it's a waste. Like it's all worth it. And he's going to use all of it. And he is using it. And you guys are doing really cool things. I mean, you're pioneering a new program. I love it. I'm so happy for you. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this twice. I really appreciate it, and I will keep cheering you on and following you on social media and reading your blogs, and I will link it all down below so other people can follow you too. I'll link your Instagram. There's a World Race America Instagram, Erica's Instagram, and then her blogs. I'll have that all in the show notes. Okay, thanks. Bye. All right, that is all I have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Erica. And if for some reason you have never heard of the World Race and you were confused this entire episode, I will link down below what the World Race is if you felt intrigued and want to know more about it. I will also link down below where you can follow her and where you can follow her squad. So thanks again for listening, and I will see you soon. Bye.